Blog Talk Radio.
Live Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing being designed by God and how great that is. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your calling on our life, God. Father, I thank you for how you chose us before the foundations of the world to be your children, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to seek those who you have called that don't yet know your son, Jesus Christ, and are not yet able to come before your throne because they have not submitted to him as their master. God, thank you for you having given us the desire to come to you and to submit to your son, Jesus Christ, as our master and to receive his blood as payment for all of our sin, and receive his broken body as payment for our physical wholeness and healing, God. Father, I thank you for the wonderful structure and plan and design that you put forth in your word so that we can be one with you in all that you do, so that we can know that our job is the same as your son, Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, to reconcile the world back to you. And Father, allow us to have a desire to do that eagerly, to be able to love others who could never return the love back to us, God. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to grow in our love walk with others and with ourselves and with you so that we can please you, we can serve you, we can trust you and operate in absolute faith, confidence, and trust in the power of the Holy Spirit within us to prevail in all situations. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Breaking, how about this worship is shifting.
believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the eyes of
sheep.
Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cry myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing design by God, being designed by God to win and to conquer territory for the Lord. See, God has designed each and every one of us to claim a piece of the kingdom here on earth right now. There are places that only you can go. There are things that only you know. There are experiences that you are uniquely familiar with that you can that allow you to minister to others who share those experiences, who are in your sphere of influence, who are immediately available to you. And when you understand that God had a plan before he called you, before he chose you, He designed you to be exactly what you needed, what he needed you to be, to fulfill his purpose. And God's purpose is that he has declared he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him. And everything the devil has done has been for the specific purpose of preventing that from happening. And so when Jesus Christ gives us the new law, the law of Christ, which is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love ourselves and to love others as we love ourselves, that is making a way for something greater than what existed before Jesus Christ was crucified and laid in the tomb for 3 days and three nights dead and raised from the dead by God, seated at God's right hand, and the Holy Spirit sent to us. Before that, the law of Moses was the only thing that God's people at the time had available to them. The children of Israel could only measure how far away from God they were. But after God broke down that middle wall partition, separating the Jews from the Gentiles, then we also, who were not of the household of Israel, we had it available to us by virtue of our faith to become a part of the promise made to Abraham, who was a Jew, who was an Israelite. He was the father of that nation that God created. And we had it available to us to be grafted into that covenant of Abraham, to be a child of God also, but more than that, to have Holy Spirit within us. See, before Calvary, before Pentecost, they could only have Holy Spirit upon them when God was doing specific things with a king, with a prophet, with anyone that he chose to work through. He placed his Holy Spirit upon them and worked through them as he needed to. But with us, we have Holy Spirit within us when we make Jesus Christ the master of our life. We are able to come before the throne of God. And when we do that, we are children of God. We are just like God originally created Adam. We have Holy Spirit within us. We have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And we have our body. And when Adam died, he lost his Holy Spirit. He lost his spirit. And that is what we get, we reclaim when we make Jesus Christ Lord of our life by being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, by repenting, turning away from serving sin, by believing that God raised the Son Jesus Christ from the dead, by confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is our master, is the Lord of our life, by believing to speak in tongues and believing to prophesy and calling on the name of the Lord, we have no doubt that we are saved. Look at what this says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, can you imagine that there was a piece of knowledge that if the devil had known this piece of knowledge, that he would not have crucified God's Son, Jesus Christ? It's amazing, because it seemed like crucifying Jesus Christ was checkmate for the devil. After Jesus Christ was dead in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, after being beat three times and nailed to a cross, I would imagine the devil was feeling pretty good about what he did. I'd imagine the devil was feeling pretty successful about bringing so much pain and sadness to God. while he watched his son dead in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, while he was actually watching his son carry the sin of the whole world. See, Jesus Christ was sinless, and God caused him to be sin for us, to pay the price so that we could become the righteousness of God through what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary. And this verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, says that they're speaking a mystery. They're speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. And this says that God ordained this hidden wisdom before the world unto our glory. And the glory is that if the devil had known, if the princes of this world knew that by crucifying Jesus Christ, each and every one of us would have the power of the Holy Spirit within us and be able to perform the signs, miracles, and wonders that Jesus Christ performed, they never would have crucified Jesus Christ. That's a profound truth and very hard to comprehend, because when you realize that God and Christ are in you through the Holy Spirit and all of that power is accessible to you, when Jesus Christ was, that's amazing. When Jesus Christ was on earth, the devil only had to deal with Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus Christ was saying that greater work shall we do because he goes to his Father? And we know that Jesus Christ did many signs, miracles, and wonders. But when he says greater works, I believe he's speaking of quantity, because each and every one of us can do what he did. We can walk on water. We can heal the blind. We can raise the dead. We can cause the blind to see. We can heal the lame. These things we can do. And it says here that if the princes of the world knew this mystery, this hidden wisdom of God that he ordained before the world to our glory, they never would have crucified God's son, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. That is profound. And when we grasp that reality, then we can understand how big of a threat we are to the kingdom of the devil, to the realm of evil. And we can also understand how powerful we are in being able to snatch people out of bondage, snatch people out of death, sickness, disease, unbelief, doubt, worry, fear. See, now is a terrible time in the world for many people because of this global pandemic. Look, I want to look at a verse in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness is going to be quietness and assurance forever. Right now, we're in a place where people are in fear. People are in pain. They have lost many loved ones, many friends. And our normal existence has been altered by this global pandemic and the fact that people are getting ill through the air, right? It's interesting to me that one of the things they call the devil in the scriptures, the prince of the power of the air. And now there's this disease that floats through the air and makes people ill. Well, for us, we're not subject to the threats of the world. Remember how when the plagues came down upon Egypt, that God's people were in a province of Egypt referred to as Goshen. And all of those plagues that came upon Egypt, the frogs, the locusts, the lice, all of that stuff, the blood, it affected all of Egypt except Goshen, except the area where God's people were. And that's important for us to understand, because God wants us to have peace and understanding that there are twice as many angels protecting us, working on God's behalf, as there are devil spirits working for the devil, working against us. And that's important to know. When the devil was kicked out of heaven for trying to usurp the throne of God, he was thrown out with one-third of the angelic beings, one-third of the angelic hosts, meaning that God has two-thirds of the angelic beings working for him on his behalf, meaning they're working for him on our behalf. And so there's no scenario where the devil wins, because not only do we have the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit within us, we have God's angelic hosts that outnumber the devil's by 2 to 1. The devil already failed at the first thing he tried to do. He's a notorious failure. Everything he does goes from less to less, or lower to lower to lower to lower. And that's why God tells us we're supposed to be going from grace to grace and faith to faith. We're supposed to be going up while he's going down, because there's a verse in the Bible that says we're going to look at the devil one day and say, is this the one who caused the nations of the world to tremble? That's what the word of God says. We're going to look on him with pity and disgust. And what this says here in Isaiah 32:17 is the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness is going to be quietness and assurance forever. See, we've been made the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood paid for all of our sin. His broken body paid for our physical wholeness. And this says the work of righteousness will be peace. So if we're the righteousness of God through his son, Jesus Christ, then the work of that righteousness is peace. And then it says the effect of righteousness, the outcome is quietness and assurance forever. So we're not panicking. We're not freaking out like the rest of the world. We're not in doubt, worry, and fear. We're established in righteousness. It's a powerful position to be in, right? Now, there are things that come against that, like when we are holding on to the past, when we are operating in with grudges and unforgiveness, and we're allowing the devil to have power that he does not legally have. See, whenever we disobey God, whenever we don't pray secretly, fast secretly, do our good deeds secretly, and forgive openly, we're disobeying God. But when we forgive openly, then we're forgiven by God and we can heal. When we do our good deeds secretly, God can reward us openly. When we fast secretly, God can reward us openly. When we pray secretly, God can reward us openly. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 54, verses 14 to 15. It says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, and you shall not fear. And you shall be far from care, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me, God says. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. What God is telling us is he's establishing us in his righteousness. In the righteousness that we have through his son, Jesus Christ, we've been made his righteousness, and we will be established. We will be far from oppression, and we will not fear. And see, right now is an oppressive time in the world. The devil is gaining an advantage of all of those who don't have the luxury of knowing God's plan for their life, who don't have the luxury and privilege to be able to go boldly before the throne of God and receive his grace and mercy each and every day, because we're his children. Those who don't have the privilege of being in relationship with God, going from grace to grace and faith to faith, being in the bosom of God, being embraced by God because he's our Heavenly Father. They need to be introduced to God's Son, Jesus Christ, so they too can make Jesus Christ their master, and they too can be children of the Most High just as we are, so that they can be established in righteousness, so that they can be far from oppression, so that they cannot fear, so that they can be far from care, so that they cannot have care come near them as care doesn't come near us. And God says, look, your enemies will surely assemble against you, but not because of me. And see, what God is telling us here is if he's not in a threat that comes against us, God has a protective hedge around us. So anything that comes to us, it tells us in Romans 5:1-5 that we glory in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, because hope makes us unashamed, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, right? Well, when we understand that any tribulation, any attack that God allows to get to us is just his way of reinforcing us with more patience, experience, and hope so that we can meet the next challenge that comes our way. But God says for all other challenges, well, all of those challenges, he said they're going to assemble, they're going to try to come against you, but I'm not in it, so they can't prevail. It says, whoever prevails against you shall fall for your sake. See, God's people don't have to be oppressed. God's people don't have to fear. We don't have to worry about time and money and all these things. All we have to do is get up and report for duty and let God lead us. Let the Holy Spirit lead us so that we can serve God by serving his Son, Jesus Christ, as our master, and letting the Holy Spirit lead us as the Holy Spirit is led by Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in Isaiah 54:16-17. It says, behold, I have created, and this is God speaking, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, so the one who makes the weapons, who brings forth an instrument for his work. So he forms metal and steel into swords and shields. And I've created the spoiler to destroy. So God said, hey, I've created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Meaning God's children, God's people, the one that he established. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn, will condemn them. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is from me, says the Lord. See, our righteousness is from God. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our righteousness by becoming sin for us, allowing his blood to pay for our sin, allowing his broken body to pay for our sickness and disease so that we could be made whole through that and then be restored. And we can heal and we can be healed. But we want to be healed so that we can heal. So we want to forgive so that we can heal, right? It says, if the devil knew that we would all have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. And you know what's powerful about that? Is it tells us how significant the power within us is. It tells us how awesome that power is. It tells us that we should never take ourselves for granted and understand that God has been waiting for us to show up on the scene for a minute, because the work that God is doing is always something new, always something he hasn't done before. So when God gives you a crazy idea that you've never seen before and you don't know how he's going to do it, understand that he created you specifically for that purpose. You don't have to try to be somebody else. You don't have to try to copy what Lester Carver is doing or somebody else is doing or some other great leader, or man or woman of God, even your parents or your grandparents, God has designed you especially for the specific purpose and assignment that he's given you. And that assignment always has something to do with reconciling the world back to him. So it always has something to do with you introducing others to his son, Jesus Christ, so that they can then know their heavenly Father, God Almighty. But the way that he has positioned you to do that is going to allow you to claim a unique territory in the kingdom. One that I couldn't necessarily approach. One that somebody else couldn't necessarily approach. And you have to understand how special you are, how powerful you are. For me to try to teach you how God prepared me to be used by him would not serve you well, because you have been designed for a special purpose, for a unique assignment. But what I would say is we all need to pray secretly. We all need to fast secretly. We all need to do our good deeds secretly. We all need to forgive openly. And those of us who are saved, who are in the body of Christ, that's our job, to reconcile the world back to God, to bring them back to the rightful place that they were designed to be, which is to dwell with their heavenly Father, God Almighty. And those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their master, those who reject the idea of having to submit to God's Son before they're able to come before the throne of God, those who think they're too good for that, they disqualify themselves. It's not that God wants to see anybody perish. It's not that God wants to see anybody go to hell. It's not that God wants to see anybody die. But God knows who's going to believe. And God knows who's not going to believe, because God is the only being in existence that is omniscient. That means all knowing. That means God knows the past, present, and future. And so people judge God as being unfair and say, oh, you preferred these people over these people, or you have given these people this and this, that, and the other. And you know what? One of God's names says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. God is not to be judged by us. But more than that, understanding that God knew if you were going to receive his son as your master, if you were going to submit and humble yourself to his son, Jesus Christ, so that you could then be qualified to come before the throne of God. And if you think you're too good to bow down to God's son, Jesus Christ, and make him your master before you can come before the throne of God, then that's your problem. That's you deciding that you don't have to do what God requires you to do. And God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you were not going to choose that direction. You were not going to obey and submit. But for those of us that God has given the desire, I believe anybody listening to this teaching has been given the desire to seek God and to obey him. And one of the first things he does is he says, look, confess with your mouth that my son Jesus Christ is your master, and believe in your heart that I have raised him from the dead. And be water baptized in the name of my son, Jesus Christ. And turn away from serving sin. Call out on the name of my son, Jesus Christ. And believe to speak in tongues. Believe to prophesy. And you shall absolutely be saved. And this is the other thing I want you to understand. Is so much of Christianity has been contaminated by ignorance and racism and prejudice and bigotry. But this is what God has to say about that. In Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ. See, through Christ, we are all considered sons of God. We are all spiritually reproductive. We all have the ability to win souls for the kingdom. We are all ministers of reconciliation. And there is no separation in the body of Christ. The separation is in the world. It's between believers and unbelievers, right? So there are those who don't believe because they don't know yet. We have not witnessed to them yet. And then there are those who have heard and openly rejected Jesus Christ. And we refer to all of them as unbelievers because they're not believers until they believe. But we're to approach all men as if they've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, him crucified, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, having sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I so that we can dwell with God and God can dwell with us and go into eternity knowing that while we win souls for God's kingdom right now, we increase the size of the kingdom now, and we win our rewards right now by obeying God and being one in Christ. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. It says, glory only in the Lord. It says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in God's presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom of God from God and righteousness from God and sanctification from God and redemption from God. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. See, that's our calling, to glory in the Lord. And understand that no flesh is to glory in God's presence. And to understand that of God in Christ, who became wisdom from God. See, Jesus Christ became wisdom from God for us. And then Jesus became righteousness from God for us. And you have to understand, wisdom is knowledge applied. Jesus became that for us. Jesus became righteousness for us when he carried our sin on the cross. Jesus became sanctification for us. He set us apart from all of those in the world. And he became redemption when he paid for us with his blood. He redeemed us from sickness, death, disease, unbelief, doubt, worry, fear. All of those things we were removed from. And this is what God is trying to do in the body of Christ, with the body of Christ. Right now, we're all chopped up in all of these denominations and sects and isms and schisms and the black church and the white church and the Hispanic church and the Asian church and all of these different denominations. But this is where God is going. And this has to happen before Jesus Christ returns. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're going. We've been designed by God to get to the Bema as one body, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where God would have us to be. as a body of Christ, so that when you see a Christian, you know what you're looking at. Oh, those are the guys who are united around the faith of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is all we ever talk about, because the good news is Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, which resulted in us having the Holy Spirit sent to us and to dwell within us. And it said that if the devil knew that was going to happen, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ, because now he got to deal with God's children everywhere instead of just Jesus Christ and his 12 disciples and then the 70. And you saw how things just grew. Look at what it says here and in this next passage of scripture that I really want to share with you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 to 15, it says, actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 to 15, it says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So what this is saying is we are to no longer live for ourselves, but we live for the one who died for us and rose again. That is Jesus Christ. And the love of Christ is what compels us. It's what motivates us. Because we judge that if Jesus Christ died for all of us, then all died with him. Jesus Christ took all of our sins to the cross, and that's all of mankind's sin. And so, you know, this is the problem. This is the problem that people who reject Jesus Christ as their master have, is they basically are not receiving the payment that God made at Calvary with the blood and broken body of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And they're saying, that's not good enough. I've got to pay these sins myself. I got to work this out. I got to pay restitution. I got to suffer. I got to do this, that, and the other. When God said, hey, you know what? I paid for it. And even more than that, is you not receiving that payment is offensive to me. It's a problem. It's you trying to carve out your own self-righteousness and do something you cannot do. If God didn't need to send his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, I'm sure he wouldn't. If it was possible for us to pay for our own sin, I'm sure that he would have had us do that. But it was not possible. Look at, because through Adam, through one man, sin and death and sickness and disease came upon all mankind. And life, the same way, comes upon all mankind through one man, Jesus Christ. And this is a problem people have, is they refuse to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their master, because they have issues. And their issues are with God, and it's not going to be in their favor when all is said and done. And that's why we have to get better. We have to come to a unity of the knowledge of a unity of the faith and a knowledge of the Son of God as a body of Christ, as the kingdom of God in the earth. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 19. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no person according to the flesh." So unlike most Sundays where we go to church and we see a whole bunch of people who look like us, whoever you happen to look like, we want to be more like the sports stadiums on Sunday at the football games, the basketball games, and other other events in the world where you have Black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Native Americans, all kinds of people, Eskimos, Bosnians, French, English, Dutch, Swiss, all of these people who are in the arena. We want to see that in the church. We don't want to judge people by the flesh, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, Black, white, fat, skinny, tall, short. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Either you are saved or you are not saved. Either you believe or you do not believe. And if you do not believe and you are unsaved, then we are going to introduce you to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and give you the opportunity to make him your master so that you too can share in the blessings of freedom and the kingdom of God as we do. Look what it says. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're saved, you are a minister of reconciliation. You've been given that by God. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what we're supposed to be sharing with people isn't damnation and hellfire. It's to share with them that salvation is available through accepting God's Son, Jesus Christ, as your master, and that God desires to dwell with you. And if God has given you that desire, then that comes from God. That's all we're telling people. We're not telling them anything more or less, because that's basically the decision people have to make, is do they agree with God that they will dwell with God and do what it takes to dwell with God and have God dwell with them? Because you are pleasing God when you agree with God that it is not only his will that you dwell with him, but your will that you dwell with him. And you make Jesus Christ your master so you can come boldly before the throne of God every day and receive God's grace and God's mercy for your life, understanding you've been designed by God. There is no one who can do you better than you. That's why God tells us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then the next thing he tells us to do is love ourselves, because see, you can't love yourself if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But now being able to love yourself is the next thing, because if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you can't really love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, then you can't love others, your neighbor, your family, your friends, your enemies. God asks us to go that far. And that's why the law of Christ is the law of love. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 to 21. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us to others. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in his Son, Jesus Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God, because Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. He who was sinless, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became sin for us and was nailed to a cross and separated from God for 3 days and three nights, but then raised from the dead by God, given all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, seated at the right hand of God, and then sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I, so that we could be the righteousness of God in him. And now we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador goes from one country their own country that they represent to another country. And they represent the people that they come from. And they speak the words of the people they come from. When we go out into the world, we should represent the kingdom of God. What they hear from us should be a plea to come into the kingdom of God through God's Son, Jesus Christ, to make him their master by being water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, by turning away from serving sin, by confessing with their mouth that Jesus Christ is their master, by believing in their heart that God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, by calling on the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, by believing to speak in tongues and believing to prophesy, they will absolutely know that they are children of God too and can go boldly before the throne of God every day and receive God's grace and mercy and be reconciled back to God and win others for the kingdom. See, that's who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. Look at what it says in Galatians 3, 1 to 4. It says, justification by faith. We've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So what is being said here is after having received the Holy Spirit by faith, then these people are reverting back to the law of Moses, trying to earn their righteousness through their works. And they're being told how foolish this is. You've begun in the Spirit. You're not being made perfect in the flesh. You're being made perfect through the Spirit. God is doing the work from the inside out, not from the outside in. See, anybody can decorate the outside of an egg, but if the inside of the egg is rotten, the egg is rotten. God, only God can get inside and restore and bring life where there was death. And so he's saying, have you suffered so much in vain? Look what it says in Galatians 3, 5 to 9. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you, God, and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham's believing in God was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Only those who believe are sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Being justified is to be made just as if you never sinned. In the scripture, God foresees that the Gentiles will be justified by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And see, that's important for us to know and understand that in the Old Testament, there were only two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. Either you were or you were not. In the New Testament, there are only two types of people, believers and unbelievers. We don't know anybody according to the flesh. Either you believe and if you don't, and if you don't believe, it's our job to witness Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection to you. And God knows if you're going to accept or reject the payment that he made for your sin. So look what it says on Philippians 3, 1 to 6. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, those who want to circumcise you and put you under the law of Moses again. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, this is Paul. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Paul was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which was in the law, blameless. See, he did everything according to the law, and God had to send his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to do this because the law was not good enough. Philippians 3:7-11. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is where we want to be. We don't want to be leaning to our own understanding and counting on our own good works, our own righteousness. We want to lean, trust, and rely wholly on the Spirit of God and know that God has paid the entire price for our salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. So just know that you've been designed especially by God, for God, so that you can be a blessing to someone else. And remember that righteousness works peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And we're established in righteousness and designed by God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth today. I thank you for you being glorified in our obedience and submission to you. Father, I thank you for you calling us to be your children, God. And I thank you for us being knowledgeable of your desire to dwell with mankind and mankind to dwell with you and understand how important that is so that we can be about the business of sharing the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection with all of those who do not yet know you, and give them the opportunity to choose for themselves if they will dwell with you or not. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this right now, for you have blessed someone beyond recognition and understanding how everything you've done to prepare them has been for your purpose of reconciling the world back to you. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.